The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
We go to Athens for the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable, exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own Credit Union studios at the Buttsmere Building in Athens.
25-20, 4-time-like, 15-10-5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
As the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. Georgia Pack and Load. Move the smart way. Move the pack and load way. Call 1-800-800-MOVE or online at gapackandload.com. Wellstar Health System. More than healthcare, people care. And by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union studio in the Buttsmere Building in Athens. It's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
And a good Tuesday morning to all of you in the Bulldog Nation. Welcome to the Bulldog Roundtable, coming to you live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios right here in the heartbeat of Dog Nation, presented by Georgia Pack and Load, Wellstar Health System, and attorney Ken Nugent. And I want to start the show. We got a great show for you, by the way, today, but I want to start off wishing a happy birthday, happy 61st birthday to the human highlight film, one of the all-time great Bulldog basketball players, Dominique Wilkins. 61 years old. You know, all my life I wanted to jump like Dominique, and now I do. And, you know, 61 today, but happy birthday to Neek. How about last night? That was some game. As college football put a bow on it with the final of 54-28, as the Alabama Crimson Tide finally ended this season with a national championship, another one. And to talk about it this morning, we've got one of the all-time greats of college football knowledge, of course, the king of college football himself, Chuck Oliver. And Chuck, appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. And right out of the gate, I have to ask you, is this Saban's best team ever? Because it certainly looked like it.
I think it had the hardest path ever, and no disrespect to what Bear Bryant did, but when you were playing 10 games a season, maybe 11, and it was only six conference games, Chuck, you remember that, and, you know, Alabama, I remember they played Georgia in 1976. They didn't play them again until 84, I believe. It was just a different time to win a national championship. Again, a lot of coaches didn't do it, so all respect to Bear Bryant. It doesn't even compare to what it is now with a conference championship, well, eight conference games in a regular season, 10 this year, a conference title game, and now two layers of playoffs. I mean, he'd already passed Bear Bryant and everybody, Eddie Robinson, everybody else you want to throw out there, and he's just adding on to it now. And, I mean, this is like Secretariat in the Belmont, what he has done to so many other coaching legends where, yes, this team last night, they were competing against guys from Ohio State. But when we talk about Nick Saban now, I mean, he's not even competing against himself to, you know, well, is this better than the 2012 team? I think he's competing against history. I think you're exactly right. It's the biggest of big pictures. But the cool part is every kid on that team last night gets to be a national champion.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Adam Gillespie and I were just sitting here discussing before the show the fact that, voting on the Heisman, you would have not been embarrassed as a voter. There were four names. Now, you can only put three on your ballot, but there were four names on that Alabama offense you could have put on your ballot and not been embarrassed at all. When you talk about Smith, obviously, and then Najee Harris, Mac Jones, and even Waddle before he got hurt.
Oh, Chuck, the funny thing was I brought up at the beginning of December, I was like, you know, when Alabama really stepped on the gas and got better on offense and the defense got better as well, I was like, do we all realize the last 6 weeks they're playing without the best player on the team? When Ja'Marr Chase opted out at LSU, I said, all right, Jalen Waddle's the best receiver in the SEC now. You could bet in August, you could bet on Jalen Waddle to win the Heisman. You couldn't bet on Devonta Smith to win the Heisman until after the Waddle injury. He didn't go up on the board, Chuck, until last week of October at 60-1. So you're right. And, you know, they could have been a team that decided to ground and pound. They decided to be one that, you know, plays offense like most other teams and go up top. And, I mean, it was just a play sheet full of right answers, and it results in Steve Sarkisian being the head coach of Texas now.
All right, let's just have a little fun here. Let's line up this year's Alabama team against last year's LSU team. Who wins that one?
I'm going to say the Alabama team from this year because they actually had stretches where they played good defense. And good defense is different than it used to be, Chuck. I mean, you know, we would have years like 79 Alabama, 85 Oklahoma, some of the greatest defenses ever. They would lead the nation in scoring defense, giving up like 8 points a game. That's not what it is anymore. LSU didn't really play good defense last year. They played good enough defense, and they had some decent situational defense. We saw Alabama. They had stretches. The Ole Miss thing and pace got them a little bit this year, but we saw Alabama. They actually, you know, went chest out a little bit. They made plays against the greatest opponents, you know, that they could have had this year, and the defense really stepped up that time. So I would say Alabama, and then obviously, and then getting no disrespect to anybody in Baton Rouge, but this team is far better coached than last year's LSU squad.
Talking with the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, and you can hear him daily on the Chuck Oliver Show, syndicated around the Southeast, as well as Chuck and Chernoff right here on 680 The Fan. And always you can check back if you miss any of those shows on 680thefan.com and pull those up. And Chuck, let's turn our attention now to the big picture of finally landing the plane here, as I like to say, on college football for this past season, which has been without question unlike any other we've ever seen. Looking back now, are you a little surprised we got through it?
I am. Well, we got as completely through it as possible. I thought that there would be some sort of games after the regular season. I thought that there would be a national championship game and two playoffs before that. I really did think that would happen. But I didn't know, Chuck. If we go back and look at, I mean, go Wikipedia, you know, college football season 1942, 43, 44, I thought that we would have far more examples of conference standings where one team played eight games, one team played three. You know, there were some examples of that, like Texas State played 12 games. They're in the same, I think the same division as Rice, and Rice played like three. And so there were some examples. You know, UConn, they said, yeah, we're out. We're not playing at all. But as complete as the season was, and the fact that there weren't more, as far as we know, in the moment, because Lord knows the big picture, long-range picture of COVID, but as far as we know, there weren't a whole lot of, you know, tough medical stories out there related to the virus. There are plenty of positive tests and contact tracing and everything else, but we got a pretty full version of what each conference intended their season to be. We got a pretty full version of that.
Is there, if you had to pick an MVP for college football, and I'm not talking about an on-field MVP, an MVP for saving the season, who would it be?
Yeah, Greg Sankey, because, and maybe, I can't believe I'm saying this, maybe a little bit of Bowlesby as well, because when the Big Ten made their announcement and the Pac-12 was like, yeah, us too. They really thought that they would be starting. It's been referred to as a panic parade. Like, all right, we're going to start, and everybody will fall in behind us, and we'll just flee from the season. And the ACC was like, wait a minute, we want to play. And when the SEC said, we're playing, I think that tips the Big 12 to that side of the ledger. And then the Pac-12 and Big 10 looked around and was like, whoa, wait a minute, we're kind of out here on our own. And maybe we'll reconsider some science. And they wound up getting back out on the field. So if not for Greg Sankey kind of holding firm and saying, well, we do have a few more weeks, why don't we take all of our time to decide? I'd give it to Sankey, absolutely.
All right, then final question, Chuck. If we learned anything that will be beneficial for us moving forward in college football, I just kind of feel like maybe we ought to consider the idea for the Power Five conferences a commissioner. Would you? How do you feel about that?
Tremendous benefit, and probably the number one and most easily attainable improvement that college football can make. It would be simple to find someone that really could put the unbiased good of the game ahead of, you know, whatever other leanings he or she may have. And it was absolutely just desperately needed this year. And by the way, the SEC, we like to, you know, pretend we've got moral high ground and we're, you know, that shining conference on the hill. No, the SEC made their own best deal as well. The SEC looked out for the SEC this year just as much as the Big Ten and Pac-12 did. It just turned out better for the SEC.
Well, it was certainly an incredible year, and you mentioned Greg Sankey. I totally agree with you, and it's still amazing to me that the SEC missed only, and I'm talking about did not get to play only two football games, and of course that Georgia Vandy, we suffered one of those losses. But
can I tell you something, Chuck? And I mentioned this on yesterday's air, and I update this every so often. It occurred to me about 5-6 years ago, after last night's win, Nick Saban. Every single player he has brought in as a recruit across two programs and 19 consecutive recruiting classes, every single player he has got brought in has gotten at least one national championship ring. 19 straight recruiting classes.
Well, that's something we really don't want to publicize.
Yeah, I don't know what your recruiting pitch is, other than you walk in and say, for two decades, since I was at LSU, literally every recruit I've brought in has gotten a national championship ring, at least one. There's your recruiting pitch. That's it. You don't need to say anything else.
Well, I was going to say, that's a pretty good selling point, no doubt about it. The king of college football, talk about selling points. Anytime you get him here on the Bulldog Roundtable, you're getting your money's worth. Chuck, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Chuck Oliver here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable. We're going to take a break. We come back, we're going to turn our attention to college basketball, and we got a giveaway. That's next.
Atlanta station broadcasting live from Athens all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
This is Bulldog Roundtable with Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Buttsmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
All right, tomorrow night, the Georgia Bulldogs back on the floor at Stegman Coliseum taking on the Auburn Tigers. Dogs looking for their first conference win of the season, but so are the Tigers. This could be a good one tomorrow night. Both teams recently adding new players to the roster, getting their eligibility restored or instituted, I should say, in the case of the Georgia Bulldogs. And so big game tomorrow night. We got a couple of tickets to give away to the first caller to 404-231-1680. 404-231-1680. Two tickets to tomorrow night's Georgia-Auburn game. And we're joined now by a new member of Coach Tom Crean's staff, Tim Dather. Tim is he's now head of strategy. Let me get this exactly right. The title that he has, but he oversees strategy and analytics for Georgia basketball. And Tim, I appreciate your time this morning, but kind of explain to everybody what the role now that analytics is playing in this day and age in college basketball and how that figures into strategy.
Yeah, thank you, and glad to be here. I'd say the biggest thing about analytics is overall game strategy, and it comes down to, I think, as simple as you want to produce the best shots on offense and allow the worst shots or the least efficient shots on defense. And now a lot of things come into play there, but a lot of times analytics can point to something that can increase, decrease that, and obviously an ever-growing field and a lot of numbers. So the biggest thing is taking those numbers and try to input them in the X's and O's and game strategy and how it can affect your team.
You know, it's really funny. We first started hearing about analytics years ago in baseball. It moved into football. It's clearly now taking a big part of basketball. But it does matter. I mean, there tendencies are tendencies for a reason.
Yeah, I think sometimes your eyes can lie to you and mislead you. I know as coaches, sometimes we almost get too attached to one play or two plays instead of seeing the bigger picture. And I think a lot of times analytics can show us that bigger picture tendency and get us out of our own way a little bit.
There have been moments where we have played so well, both in the pre-conference part of the schedule and even in the conference part. I thought that second half at LSU was just tremendous, even into the overtime. And, you know, maybe with a call going our way that didn't, you know, we may have had a different result there. But what are you seeing that you like out of this Georgia team?
Yeah, I think we're learning and getting better each time out, I think. And a lot of guys are in different roles, especially without Anthony and some of those other guys, even the guys who were playing last year in vastly different roles. So we're adjusting and learning on the fly, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of that. So if we keep doing that and getting better, results will start to come.
We got good news yesterday from the NCAA that Katie Johnson, true freshman, but there had been some situations with his transcripts from high school that finally got sorted out, and he was cleared by the NCAA yesterday to begin playing with Georgia, and he will be on the floor tomorrow night against Auburn. Let's talk a little bit about KD and tell us what you've seen of him that'll make a difference to this year's team.
Yeah, I think KD will help in a lot of ways. He's another guard who can really play, and I think a lot of people see that talent on display tomorrow. But I think even more so than what he can do on the floor as far as his skills is he gives us a competitive, infectious personality, a big-time energy guy. And I think our whole team will feed off that. And I think you'll start to see that tomorrow and on the court, that it's not only his skills, it's also his competitive personality that he brings.
Talking with Tim Dather, who's the director of strategy for University of Georgia men's basketball. And Tim, with KD coming to the floor, this will help also give a little break occasionally to Sevier and to Justin. So it puts another guard in that mix.
Yeah, we hope that can really help us. We've depended very heavily on those two, and they feel the load sometimes. So it'll be good to give them a little break, give them another playmaker out there to add to the lineup who can carry some offensive load as well as guard a lot of these really good guards in the league.
Yeah, pretty good shooter too, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he'll help us there. We need more shooting and produce good shots, and he'll definitely help us in that regard.
No doubt about it. I can't wait to see him on the floor tomorrow night, as I know all of Georgia basketball is very anxious to see this young man on the floor. And let's go out and get a win tomorrow night, get that conference, get a little string going here in the conference.
Yeah, that sounds good, and a lot of people really excited, and we're really excited to see him as well as our team tomorrow night.
All right, Tim Dather here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable. And again, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Stegman Coliseum, Dogs and the Auburn Tigers. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to turn our attention to women's basketball, and Coach Joni Taylor will join us next.
This is the official sports talk station of the Dogs.
It's Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
This is Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, and you're listening to the Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan on FM at 93.7. Go Dogs!
Thank you, Coach Smart. Welcome back to the Bulldog Roundtable. Let's turn our attention now to the Lady Dogs, who are doing terrific. I mean, off to a great start, 10-1 on the season. And Coach Joni Taylor joining us now. And, Coach, first off, congratulations on the start. And also congratulations on beating those Florida Gators this past weekend.
Thank you, Chuck. I tell you what, it's always good to beat Florida. Got them again in Gainesville. They're a tough team. I think it's the best team Cam Neubauer has put on the floor, but they played really well on Sunday. It was fun to watch and really excited for our seniors who are now undefeated against the Gators in their career.
Well, that's a great thing to say, isn't it? That makes those young ladies feel. Yeah. Tell me, what is it that you like about this team? And you know, I understand that we're still early in the season, so it may be a little early to ask you, is this the best team you've had? But they certainly are playing extremely well right now.
No, it is definitely the best team we've had. I can answer that question. How we finish up, you know, will be a testament to our perseverance, our ability to continue to stay focused and stay healthy. But there's no doubt this is the best team that we've been able to put on the floor as a program since we took over in 2015. I think I like their maturity, number one. Obviously, it's no secret we've got a lot of experienced players. We returned 4 starters from last year. Those seniors are all in grad school, very experienced, been playing, starting 3-4 years. And that just brings a lot of intangibles with it. And then you add some of our younger players who got some experience last year, who really worked hard over the summer to get themselves in a position to compete for minutes. And you add Sarah Ashley Barker, Michaela Coombs, who sat out last year, to that mix. Maury Davenport, who, based on the waiver to allow transfers to play this year, got thrown into our lineup after we thought she was going to sit out. And we just have depth. We have a lot of options. And the biggest difference is, Chuck, when we sub, there's not a let up. There's no let up when we sub. And so our bench could be starting a whole lot of places. And so it's really difficult to defend.
Is your shooting better? I know you've got certainly your rebounding and your interior defense is a lot better. But is your shooting better?
Depends on the night. Yeah, overall it is, yes. We have been, and a lot of that, I'll tell you, if you look at our percentages, it's because we're scoring so much in transition. But our percentages are up in every category. Again, a lot of that is predicated because of our style and tempo. We're able to get out and run and play a lot faster because we're able to sub and rest people a lot more. But they've worked really hard to, again, that's been a sore spot for us. We've been so inconsistent from shooting the basketball, and it was an area that we really harped on, and credit them for being able to make those adjustments and be better shooters.
Well, I know that you've got that great mix now that you look for as a coach between the experience on the floor and the talented, incoming youth that will still face some growing pains, but at least you've got some experience now to help guide them through that.
It is nothing like watching Q and Gabby and Maya and Jenna practice every single day. You know, we throw some things at them sometimes just to see what they're going to do. Sometimes we'll say, all right, this is how we're going to guard ball screens. That's all we're going to tell you. Figure the rest of it out yourself. Instead of telling them our game plan or how we want to defend it, what we want to do. And to watch the four of them just be able to navigate and talk to each other and figure out what they want to do. And they may even screw it up sometimes, but their ability to adjust and get it figured out, it's impressive, to be quite honest. And our young players are watching that. They're learning from that, and they know that they have to get in there and do the same thing. So it's a lot less instruction and coaching from our staff. I think we've talked about that in years past. When you as a coach are the one that has to do all the talking, you're in trouble. And this year, the biggest difference is that they are able to make adjustments themselves without looking over to us to and rely on us to tell them step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Tell me about the conference overall now. And you know, I mean, year in and year out, the SEC is a tough gauntlet to run for women's basketball. I mean, just there are more and more schools that are just getting better and better and better.
1 through 14, Chuck. I think I may get this stat wrong, but I want to say going into Sunday's game, there were 6 SEC teams. Maybe 5 now that were ranked, and 4 of those 5 were ranked in the top 10. It is brutal. But again, it's not a shock. Everybody's getting better. So the top, the upper echelon of our league is continuing to get better, and then the bottom of our league is continuing to get better. So on any given night, anything can happen. I'm watching Sunday's game, and Kentucky has a chance to upset South Carolina, and LSU has a chance to upset Tennessee, and Ole Miss almost upsets Mississippi State, and all those teams are ranked. And it's why you come to the SEC. It's why you come to Georgia, because you want to say that you played against the best and practice with the best every day. But it makes for a fun matchup, and we know every single game it's going to be a grinded out chess game.
Well, you mentioned Tennessee. They're next up for you, right?
They are. We leave tomorrow headed to Knoxville.
That's always a fun trip, but it's a lot more fun if you can get out of there with a win. What do you have to do to beat the Vols?
First thing we've got to do is, you know, I refer to some teams we play. I refer to the Great Wall of China. You know, the Great Wall of China is you can see it from space. It is huge, and we've got to create the Great Wall of China around the paint. And not let them in the paint, whether that's from penetration or post-ups. We've got to protect our paint. We've got to aggressively rebound the basketball. They are taller than us at every position and only have one player on their roster that is shorter than 6 foot. So they're huge, 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 huge. Can score at every position. There's a pro on the floor at every position. So we've got to be really, really good defensively. And then offensively, we've got to make sure that we attack pressure with pressure. They're big, but they don't move well laterally at times. And so we've got to be really intentional about picking on some of their players and getting ourselves in situations where we can ISO and try to get to the rim. And I think also tempo is going to be very important. In the past, Tennessee has tried to slow us down by either pressing us or playing a zone. And we've got to make sure that we try to dictate pace and run when we can, because I don't think that they can run with us if we run for 40 minutes and they run for 40 minutes.
Joni, before I let you go, I've gone through this whole interview and not mentioned COVID, which is a good thing because we've been able to talk basketball, but it is affecting attendance. Obviously, there's diminished attendance across the conference, you know, with reduced capacities at all venues. And I'm wondering, how has that been on the road? Has it made it easier for visiting teams coming in or when you go as a visitor?
You know what? I think it depends. So we were on the road recently, and our group was a little sluggish to start. And I have no doubt in my mind the gym was cold. It was quiet as it's ever been. Even when we've been on the road in the past, most programs or most facilities have crowd noise and playing in the background. And this arena did not have any crowd noise, so it was eerily quiet. And it affected our girls to start out. And luckily we were able to sub and find some energy, and it got us going and it didn't become an issue. But it's why we talk about all the time, generating your own energy. Like it's got to be, it can't be a shock when we walk into an arena and that's what happens. So I think at times it's good for us if we're on the road and they don't have their, like if we were at South Carolina last week and that game got canceled, but I was actually like, okay, we're going to walk into a Colonial Life and I'm not going to be hoarse when I leave there because there won't be, you know, 12,000 people screaming. So that was something that I was actually looking forward to.
They can
play with you.
They can hear you on the floor. That's a good thing.
Right, indeed. Right.
Yeah, Joni, thank you so much. Best of luck against the Vols up in Knoxville. Go get that win for us.
Thank you, Chuck.
All right, Joni Taylor here with us, head coach of our women's basketball team at the University of Georgia. Appreciate all of you and Dog Nation for being with us here today on the Bulldog Roundtable. Stay tuned now for Home Team in Hamilton. Did they do that? They didn't do that alphabetically. They didn't they did it home team and did they do it by good looks or how did they decide whose name went first? I don't know. Well, whatever. It's home team in Hamilton next here on 680 The Fan. Let's have a great Bulldog Day, everybody.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.